August 25th, 2025. Welcome back to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast. This is podcast number two tonight, and this is a Civic Media production in cooperation with WAUK Radio, AM 540, and with Word Brown, using the power of words to change the world. Again, I am Don Brown, and I'm joined by the mighty Max Martinson, my producer, working from the comfort of his own home in the Cream City. And I am here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in the Work Hub Studios in the Five Points of downtown Waukesha. And back with me for part two is, again, my good friend and mental health advocate, Karee Pennebaker. Karee, welcome back. And thank you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Now, as we mentioned, you've been very involved in Democratic politics as a congressional candidate, and also holding some high ranking posts, which I'm going to ask you to repeat if you're okay doing that, and then just asking like what your thoughts are on what's going on in politics to promote mental health, especially in light of the craziness that's going on in this Trump round two, shall we say?
Yeah. So my I did run for Congress in 2016 before it was a fashionable thing to do. Now it seems like everybody wants to run, but hey, I applaud those who have the courage to go get some signatures and get their name on the ballot. That's a very hard thing to do. So I applaud them for that. So I ran for Congress back then. I failed in my attempt to dethrone Jim Sensenbrenner, who was undefeated. And then from there, I became a board member of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. I then became their C4 board president. But I also got elected to the DNC. And I was one of four elected DNC representatives. And as a result of that election, I became one of the Wisconsin Democratic Party's executive board member. And then within the DNC, I became a member of the DNC Black Caucus, and then got elected to be the DNC Black Caucus treasurer. I stayed in those capacities, I think, until 2023, when I stepped down. It got to a point where, it was clear that my mental health was struggling overall. I needed to focus more on me and do less work from less outward work. And what I did notice, I was an elector for Joe Biden in 2020, and I got an excessive amount of death threats, and it really warped my mind. And it caused me to look at life from a perspective that wasn't real, because there were so many that I just simply thought around every corner, there was someone trying to hurt me. And it really did warp my mind, and it caused me to not want to do like so many public events. And I just saw my participation like just start to crumble and dwindle to next to nothing. And it really did have an impact on how I saw life and how I saw myself. And I had to get to a point where it's like, hey, I gotta fix this. I gotta fix whatever is in me, both in dealing with that kind of mental state, plus in dealing with chronic depression and suicidality, and dealing with my mom. And I've been doing that for the last few years, and I'm very glad I chose myself.
Wow, that's great. If you're comfortable, could you specify in what maybe some of the things you did to work on yourself?
Sure. Well, the first thing is I stepped away from the spotlight, which for a person like me was an extremely hard thing to do.
Yeah, because we're both akin like that. Yeah.
I crave the spotlight. There's no drug on earth like that.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. Then I just had to slow down and stop being like board members of things and just find a way to just create more time for myself, and then commit to going to therapy at least once a week and participating in it, not just having a therapist talk at me, but engage in the process. And it took a minute to really like buy into it. And it's not like I did not trust mental health, like therapy or anything like that, but it's a very intimate thing. It's not just, it takes work on both sides, both from the therapist and from the participant, you have to like let your guard down because you're trusting someone into the most inner workings of your mind to help them help you rewire things and recreate your perspective. And thank God I did, because it really did open my eyes to things, and it's an ongoing process. It doesn't stop. I have to keep doing it. I'm still in therapy. I still go once a week. And I'm glad I do it, because it really does give you the tools you need to weather those dark storms when they hit. It helps you create better perspectives of things. It helps you find better ways to talk to yourself or talk about yourself, to value yourself. I mean, a lot of times we as adults will talk in cliches. We'll say stuff like get over it or get past it. But what does that mean? Right? How do you deal with a mother's suicide? What does that mean? You know, I didn't know. And thankfully through therapy, I've learned some things that I had not learned before. I had to stop thinking like the absolute worst when something didn't go my way. My world is ending. Like, no, it's not. Right. There's a difference between having a bad day and a bad moment. And there's an even greater difference between having a bad moment and a bad life. And it really is a matter of perspective. And thankfully, therapy helped me see all that.
That's great. Yeah, you know, and as I mentioned in the first segment about the affordability of good mental health care, that it's not, even with some of your more comprehensive health plans, that it's not always an affordable option for people, people with families, or even just people like by themselves. And, you know, usually during this time or like in May, which is National Mental Health Awareness Month, I've had members of staff from NAMI on the show or Rogers Behavioral Health. And it is refreshing to learn, especially NAMI Southeast Wisconsin here in Waukesha has some great resources for people or can refer affordable options. And the nice thing, you know, we used to be in the same building when our studio was there on Wisconsin Avenue. They moved over to Grandview, but the plaza they're in their own building and throughout the plaza, there's different clinics that they can refer people to, where again, the therapy tends to be pretty cost or affordable, I should say. Cost effective is important too, but also just, you know, for out of pocket. And so I always encourage everybody. Carroll University has some free services, not just for students too. So, and I know in the summer they open the office there on Wisconsin Avenue, but are there other things you do like on your own, like, you know, walking or diet or even just moments of like meditation, reflection, prayer, or maybe music? What works for Curry in terms of good mental health?
That is something that is a constant work in progress. I have a highly addictive personality. So like there are things, and I have ADHD, so I will hyper-focus on things.
Sure.
And the hyper-focus itself is a bit of therapy for me when that focus is on something positive. I can zoom through things like some work-related thing.
Right.
Like most people can't. I just can't stop.
Yeah.
If I get started on a Friday night, I might be up until midnight doing work stuff. There is some relief in that for me because my brain is going 1,000 miles an hour.
Right.
And it's I can channel it. I can really just like angle that bolt of lightning in the right direction. The struggle is when I can't. That's when I'm really in trouble. But now like when I just have agreed to whatever I'm feeling, I'm going to let myself experience it. Like I don't have to be afraid of my feelings anymore. I don't have to be afraid of the mood that I'm in. I'm just allowing myself the freedom to just feel and just live. I don't have to have rules around those kinds of things. It's just, I'm just going to enjoy being a human being. And there are moments where I'll walk with my fiance and it's fun. There are other moments where I can just veg out and listen to some, whether it's Rage Against the Machine or I can listen to Pearl Jam or something like that and just chill. Love. Or I can watch, you know, all of the Matrix movies, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can find something and just zone out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really, this boiled down to accepting that I'm worthy of every bit of love and joy that the world has to offer, just as every other person is.
Sure.
And it takes a minute to accept that for yourself. And some people may think that they do, only to find out that they don't. They just think they only deserve the worst. And I had to, you know, there's a lot of like introspective work you have to do, but there's also a lot of forgiving and of yourself. Like, I've made mistakes. I gotta, like, hey, man, you know, we can't change what we've already done. All I can do is try to learn from it, and so I don't make that same mistake, and then commit to not making that same mistake, or find out what root causes were that caused that, all those things I can do. And like, again, it really does mentally feel good to have sorted out a problem that I thought was unsolvable for myself. It feels good. Like, I'm that committed to me that, you know, so I can be a better partner, a better dad, a better coworker, a better human being. For me, I feel like I need my mental health to be in top shape so I can be the best resource possible.
Sure. That's terrific. How do you, as because you're an executive for a local contractor, correct? How do you instill like good mental health among your workforce?
Well, many of them know my story, right? Like, because again, you can Google it. I can't hide from that. So in there, I mean, you know, there are people within the construction industry who feel, and rightfully so, that there's a stigma attached to mental health. But I tell people all the time, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, the National Roofing Association, National Roofing Contractors Association has a program that deals with mental health and suicide ideation. So like the fact that they are appreciating this from an industry-wide perspective, goes to tell you how serious and pervasive this issue is. Like this, the issue of suicide isn't industry specific. It's not race specific. It's not gender specific. It impacts every single one of us. And I'm glad that more and more people are willing to participate in addressing it than at any other time before. I mean, that is a good thing, but it also shows that there are a lot of people that have suffered and have lost their battle to mental health. Since, you know, we've all decided we're going to do something for people to wake up and say, hey, I don't want to be another one. I don't want to lose another one. I don't want to lose another coworker. Sure. I want to be a part of making that positive change. And in my case, I mean, I may not be in front of a microphone as often as I used to be, but at least there are people that can look at me and say, I don't have to be afraid.
I
can admit that I'm in therapy. I can admit as a man or as a man of color or as a father that I am in therapy, and it has saved my life. I have called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It has saved my life.
What's the 3-digit number again? I'm embarrassed.
I don't remember.
Star 98.
I'm sorry. It's pound 88.
Pound 88. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Pound 988.
There we go. Pound 988. Thank you. Yes. Cause I was just going to say too, because in the building trades, there's higher rates of it because even if you're not in the actual accident, if you witness that, that's PTSD. Yep. And if you're not getting the proper therapy, that suicide could be, you know, unfortunately could be a next step. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that. I do some work with the iron workers too, and they're doing a lot of great things with mental health. And physical fitness is another one. It's become really important. I know the A.B. Corker Foundation for Mental Health has been emphasizing that. I'm trying to think what my next. What advice do you have for I'd say especially for your counterparts with fellow executives, people you know that either own their own businesses or they're executives, because oftentimes the pressure they face, and again, given the level of intelligence or acute awareness, those risks may be greater or they may be more exposed.
Right. So, you know, I've been in just about every aspect of a company that there is. I've been the grunt, the guy at the bottom of the totem pole, and I've been the owner of the company. So, and everything in between. I think if I would have known and appreciated at a younger age that this will all end at some point. And I can work 100 hours a week until I can't. But if I don't appreciate what I'm working for, then why do it? Right? Like if by the time I'm ready to retire, 52 or 62, whatever the age may be, and I can't, you know, I don't have a relationship with my kids, but because I spent too much time working, or that, you know, it's just me and my money and that's really it. Like, what value of life are you, or quality of life are you going to have, right? You can buy some expensive things, but who are you going to share it with? Like, what, I think I failed as a younger person. And again, I was young. I was good at making money, but I wasn't really good at like forecasting what I wanted my life to be like when I got older. So I would encourage people to decide for yourself, what really is important. Money, I mean, don't get me wrong. Money is important. You can't, there's nothing, you know, you can do to shake that. Yeah. But you can decide what you value. And are your family members and your friends of importance to you to the point where you have to commit to spending time with them or spending time with yourself outside of work so that you can enjoy just simply being alive. Because when it's done, you can't take any of this stuff with you. There's like, I think Denzel Washington said this quote once, like, there's no moving trucks behind the hearses, right? That's it. You leave with nothing. I understand like wanting to leave legacy and all that kind of stuff, but there's something to say about enjoying it while you're here. I don't want to be thought of just in a memory. I want people to enjoy my presence while I'm here.
That's terrific. I don't know if you're paying attention to any of the tributes to Bob Uecker, I think on Sunday during the game. And I loved what Robin Yount had to say. It was I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be around when it happens. You talk about a guy who took a bite out of life though, and just really made things, made the world around him so much better. And my brother-in-law's wedding in the, what do you call it? When the pastor speaks, the homily, he had used Bob Uecker as an example of, as a metaphor for successful marriage. And it was all based on an interview where the, Uecker did, where an interviewer accused him of, for saying he didn't have a very successful baseball career. And Uecker's like, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't make the Hall of Fame, but I contributed to two World Series champions teams, you know, and I got to play for my hometown team. And I, you know, I forget, he mentioned his batting average, but just like, for a guy with average talent, I went all the way to the show and I continue to work in baseball like years later. I'm like, and it was all because of outlook. And I think that's the point that the pastor was trying to make, was that Uke always said that he could be self-deprecating, but he could also always see the bright, you know, side of things and just the ability to make people laugh and smile. Like, that's, you know, you talk about a legacy and it sounds like, you know, the things you're working on are like, that's, you're starting to feel that, or even like you feel that among others around you, that you're getting off a light. So any final comments here as we head into National Suicide Prevention Month, you know, ideas for people to consider or look at or learn more about?
Sure. I would say take time to be kind to yourself. Allow yourself the space and the freedom to feel. And sometimes those feelings might be scary, but that's where you need to make sure that you are equipped with the mechanisms and coping processes to get you through from one end of that dark cloud to the end of it, so that you come out better for it overall. Right. But ultimately, people need to appreciate they are worth it. There's someone on this planet that wants you to be here.
Yes. Well said. Caree Pennebaker, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank everyone else for listening in. Please remember, as always, especially as we go into the holiday weekend and we start school, that safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler. That's 100,000 thank yous. And Again, have a great holiday weekend and see ya.